Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hello, 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 hello. We're gonna do a really gay show.
It's always a gay show here.
Hello, this is Captain Poodle speaking. Are you ready to find love?
Yes, ahoy, matey.
Love.
Do, 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 do.
Exciting and new. Go online. They're catfishing you.
Shocker.
Fiance.
Soon you'll be flying to parts unknown.
90-day fiance.
Marrying someone you've only met on your phone.
Be they French or Chinese, a brand new K-1 visa's the key.
Ooh, the key to what, Poodle?
To love. It's 90-day gate. Let's love.
This is 90-day gate. This is Toe. This is Toe. This is the penultimate episode before our the season finale. You know, that's redundant. This is the penultimate episode.
It is. It is. Yeah. It is. It is.
So called, next. Not on my watch.
Not on my watch. What?
Was that a Jenny quote?
No, who kind of said it?
I don't know.
No, they have these quotes and then I don't remember who said it.
I have toe fatigue, y'all. And I started this season so fresh and so bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. I said, oh, remember, I like toe because they go into all, it's so... We get to see how other people live and blah blah blah, and now here I am exhausted.
Well, you know,
19
what?
Episodes in and worn out like an old sex worker. Just give it, just routinely giving hand jobs. It's not even no joy in it left anymore. That'll be $12.
That'll be 6 pence. Thank you. You know, we always get excited because how excited are we for the new 90 Day Fiancé? It looks so good.
I'm so excited for season 8.
So y'all come
season
at
8,
us.
It's going to be great.
Cut to us in 3 months going, oh my God.
Or by episode 4 where I'm going, oh, I hate everyone.
You know, I actually don't dislike this.
I know what you're saying. Yeah.
I will say, you know who I'm actually more, not the people that are the divisive, not the people that are not pro Ari, not Ari and Binium. It's not Brittany and Yuzan.
No.
It's actually the people, like, I'm done with Jenny Submit's storyline. I'm done with Devin and Jihoon's. I'm kind of done. I'm done with the people that were on before. I just wish we had almost, I wish this was a whole clean slate of new people.
You mean... Cheese Stick and Melissa are keeping you alive.
That one is boring.
That storyline is dead.
But I'm actually, I'm interested in the gays. I'm interested in Brittany Yuzan. And
I'm not. I think it's just a fucking train wreck.
It's a train wreck, but it's, there's something, something weirdly satisfying about seeing, about fucking head in the ground, Brittany. Finding out that this little game she played is actually about someone's life and she can't overcome the fucking culture.
I agree with that. I just wish we had a better hero for that story. She's just such a bad example.
Do. Angela now. Her best friend, Angela. I love her.
Oh. For a minute, I went, Angela?
Angela?
But I'm saying, I wish we had... it's a shame that we have our kind of... Angela. Brittany's probably one of our first women of color to be Americans on the show. You're not the not the fiancés who are from foreign countries. And it's a shame she has to be such a mess.
It's true.
And
but,
so
you know, it's
a terrible representation. But you know what? She's an American.
She's not a representation. She's just a, she's a more representation of American
influencer
American influencer and
dead
culture.
On.
And
I'm just saying that it's a shame that our first black woman in a long time. Maybe there have been others. Well, Chantel probably one of the last one of the latter ones. But
she did well.
Pedro is so hot. Well,
he's so hot.
And you can have your problems with her. She's kind of said ridiculous things. We haven't watched her season. I've just seen her in like the quarantine things, and she feels herself.
You know, I at least from the little I've seen of her, I like her. It's her family I can't stand.
Her family is so.
But I like her. She's a little confident, but you need to be confident when you're a black woman in this world. And she's great. But anyway, we'll see. I'm going to eat these words when we watch her season.
It's
I'll
just
say
a shame we have to carry this for Brittany. As
Before we jump in, do we have any announcements, or anything we need to talk about? I'm trying to think. Y'all, we were almost late for this show, or we are late starting this show, and it's my fault because I had one of those nights with my dad doing all these different things, and one of the reasons why I'm late, because his friend called, and my dad's like, Matt, come here, and his friend prayed for us, which was very sweet.
He prayed over you.
Y'all, it was a Father We Just prayer, and it was 15 minutes long. Like at one point, my dad's just staring at the TV, looking at the muted football screen, and I'm literally just on. I'm not used to. I'm Catholic. We have
you're
very
not used
short
to Father
We
Just prayers.
Unless
you're
it's
not
a rosary,
used to,
Catholics are in and out. We're
you're
very
not used
short.
To the oldest uncle who was a preacher or a informal preacher. Never didn't have his Doctor of Divinity. He just called himself a preacher. And when he would say the blessing, you're like, it was one of those things where you're like bowing your head and you're closing your eyes. And then at one point he's going on a minute. He's like, and Father, we pray for blah, 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 and blah, 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 and bless this food. And we're so happy that Father, we're so happy that blah, blah, blah is here. And then as a kid, you're like, looking at him and going around saying, I just want to eat. And me, because I loved food as a child, would be picking off parts of my food and eating it during the blessing. And one time my mother saw me and slapped my hand and I dropped my roll. And it made a sound during the blessing.
As she should have. As she should have.
And my mother said after the blessing, she's like, are you starving? Is that it? Cough. So embarrassing. Makes people think I don't feed my children.
Anyway, it was like, a very sweet pair, but it made us late.
Father, anyway, Ouija's prayer. Gah.
Anyway, also that's what we're doing. Okay, so announcements coming up. We are, if you're listening to we still have the Bi-Curious coming up this week. Poodle and I are going to be together some this weekend. So we're going to be doing the Bi-Curious coming up.
It'll probably drop Tuesday of next week.
No. We'll still drop it on a Friday.
Oh, that's what I mean.
Record it
but
next
the episode,
week.
The Bi-Curious will be I Love a Mama's Boy, and that it'll be this Sunday's episode. You know, it came on tonight, but it'll be next week's episode. What's next Sunday's date? Is that the 22nd? So it'll the episode that airs the 22nd of I Love a Mama's Boy on TLC right after The Other Way.
Finale.
Is it their finale?
Next week is the other. I just told you next week.
No,
is
I'm saying the Mama's Boy.
No. Yeah. It's the finale of the finale. So we've got that coming up. We're going to be doing, y'all, because as you know, we just finished the finale of Love After Lockup, which was good. And we're going to be doing a crossover with Cray Cray regarding some of the,
Kim and Kyle.
Some of the characters from Life After Lockup that we don't know. So we're going to be doing that. That's going to drop on the Patreon, but that crossover is going to drop on the free feed as well. So if you're interested in checking that out or thinking, no, I wonder what Love After Lockup, go ahead.
If you've never seen Love After Lockup, it is worth it.
You do not get tired. We were sad to see those people go.
I'll be honest. I thought it was just going to be garbage, like laugh at people television.
No.
It's compelling. Now, there's plenty to laugh at. Don't worry.
Oh, yeah. You
there's
got
plenty of cuckoo.
There's a guy who's obsessed with Freddy Krueger who has got Freddy and got milk font on the back of his truck.
There's a fucking like straight jacket on his wall
that he has like as he has a whole fish tank, not full of fish, but a Freddy Krueger figurines.
And there's a woman on oxygen who's living in this house just going, just take me away. I can't handle this stuff, this room anymore. All this Camp Crystal Lake memorabilia.
The devil.
When the demons got her.
When the demons got my daughter. Anyway, y'all. So that's what's going on that show. We enjoy it. Y'all, come name us.
Come name us.
We're still doing the competition. Or not competition. We're still doing the contest.
It is a competition. Let's be honest.
If some of you have already noticed, we already. Life is a competition. If you've. Oh, Jesus. If you've already noticed, we already had to change some of our cover art. If you'll notice, there's a big unauthorized red stamp on our podcast art now.
I take that as a badge of honor,
so,
to be honest.
We're doing, we're trying to fix things legally because Discovery came for us. So we're changing our name on January 1st. We are taking your submissions in the link below until December 4th. That's my mama's birthday.
Oh, okay, great.
She'll be 70. And so anyway, y'all,
And if the person who wins, or who we if we choose your name, you get two tickets to a live show when the world opens again.
And we'll fly you out there. Not your friend, but we'll fly you.
Contiguous U.S. Maybe Toronto, maybe Vancouver.
Depends on what coast.
We've already been read by Canadian sissies who say, I live in Edmonton and it's quite a large city. I'm like, nope, sounds like your city is a big snow bump to me. I'm sure it's lovely.
If you've got a bunch of layers and not a direct flight to Dallas, ain't happening.
Ain't happening.
No, we can't afford that. So anyway, y'all, that is what's going on. I think do we have any other announcements?
I think that's it. We're doing Plathville on our Patreon. You guys are loving Plathville. If you haven't checked out Plathville, We just had someone in our sister squad say, yeah, I thought that was very like Duggar, multiple families. It would be the same drama. It ain't.
It's not.
This is like existential shit, y'all. Mm-hmm. This show has probably brought up more issues about like how you think about life, how you think about religion, and how you disseminate yourself from your parents than I've seen in a show in a really long time.
Unlike Southern Charm, which is complete reality trash, but we love it. So come to the Sweet Tea episode as well. So that's
We're having fun on that.
Actually, it's good now that they're starting to talk about culture and race in Charleston. It's good.
I forgot to do one of my letters from the war. I'll need to do one of those.
Y'all, come at Poodle.
I've done 3 cameos so far. And that I knew that Scarlett O'Hara wig would pay off someday. And I told someone to eat shit and die.
You told them to eat shit and die?
Yeah, because I wrote it to her. You know, they need to. They could take it. Oh, Jesus. And I stubbed my toe today, and it is purple. Just so you can know what I'm living with. Because you got your dad, and I've got my toe.
Yeah, I. yes, sure. As my dad's laxatives finally kicked in after 4 days, and it was like a scene from Dumb and Dumber.
Anyway, y'all, send some prayers out for my stubbed toe. I hope it's not broken. It's just purple right now.
Anyway. Yeah. That's it. Let's jump into this.
Let's jump in.
Have another announcement, y'all. Jesus. It's finally happened. Some things have got in the works, and I can say with full confidence, 2 things. First of all, all of our merch is, I didn't know this, I went to our website today. All of our merch is on sale, y'all. Like, shirts are like $13. Shit's on shell. So get your merch.
You just said shit's on shale.
We did. And secondly, I'm going to say this because I'm going to give you a deadline. Y'all, by Thanksgiving, the Poodle Home Collection will be launched.
Yeah, I was coming up with stuff today, and we got art.
Did you hear me? By Thanksgiving.
Why don't we say
this can't be a musical episode, Poodle? People are ready.
Are we ready for Black Friday for Thanksgiving? Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's a great deadline. I love a deadline.
That's like when I tell a guy
fucking me, we have to be done by 3 because I have a student.
You really do need a deadline. I love a deadline.
I live on a deadline, y'all.
If you don't give him a deadline, he'll feel like it never needs to be done.
It's just the way I live. Maybe I should say
the musical episode should be done by Valentine's Day of next year.
Eh.
We should schedule that now. Let's just say as a love letter to our family.
Let's talk about the other way.
All right.
Let's talk about toe.
We do have one more announcement, y'all. I'm so sorry.
God,
we're going to put this in the show notes, but we don't know who the sissy is. I don't want to know who it is. I don't want to know.
I don't want to know either. Don't tell us who it is.
Y'all, someone created a Twitter account
for Carl's wife.
Called the real Carl's wife.
I think he or she or they just changed the thing today. And they are going by a different name now.
They are? Well, the Twitter account is @Carl_real. So @Carl_real.
Okay.
And it's a question mark. And it says the real's Carl White. Her latest tweet says virus protection card. Even I think it's bunk. Probably. And then her text under that says, listening to the free feed and I can't find the Plathville episode. Carl!
Oh, that stupid bitch. Carl's wife, go over to your Patreon. You know what? She doesn't know Patreon. She doesn't understand Patreon. God bless her. Just ask Shooter to come sit on your lap and you can pet him and calm down.
Anyway, y'all, so follow Carl's wife and don't tell us who it is. All right, let's talk about this.
I don't want to know. So let's start with.
Marriage. You're going to get married.
I'm so done with the storyline.
You know what? It kind of revived me a little bit this week.
Really? And I just feel like it's just.
It revived me a little bit.
What revived you? What revived you?
The idea that evidently Smith decided that or didn't realize they could get married in a different way. it's because he don't want to get married. Y'all.
Yeah,
let's give this obvious answer. Smith loves fighting for marriage, and he loves the idea of kind of fighting for a cause. It's not so much when it's realistically happening.
No.
So when they can get married, Smith's got a little bit of a crisis of conscience.
I'm going to say something.
Like
I know we've said it before.
I want a boyfriend until it happens. And I'm like, get away from me. Get away from me. I don't want a boyfriend.
That's true. I will say, Ashwini was right about everything when it came to Smith.
That he's a child.
Yes.
And yeah.
It really is. He's a child, and
don't tell her that. Her head will swell up.
She listens to the show
like a Macy's Day Parade.
Notice I said about Smith, not everything else. I won't give her that. No, I'm kidding. I love that. So y'all, so the lockdown finally ended. So there, Jenny
is
like,
funny. Isn't that quaint?
I can't get my head straight. It's so humid. My feathers.
I was gonna say,
my feathers are sticking together. My feathers are sticking together. How's anybody gonna know I'm attracted to them if I can't raise my
So we do see Sumit has a very special gift for her, and it is a sanitizing card.
Okay.
I have so many questions.
Okay.
How does the sanitizing card work?
For those of y'all that didn't watch,
does it like protect you from evil spirits?
Let me explain what it is. It's a card, he says, that you put around your neck, and it helps repel COVID-19.
Virus. It looks like a backstage pass at a Phish concert.
It does. It looks exactly like that. And it
maybe
actually
it doesn't
probably
smell as
has,
much like weed.
Well, it probably has less power than a pass at a backstage Phish concert. Y'all, because let's be honest, if you got good pot, you're going backstage at Phish.
You're going to be fine.
If you've got some mushrooms, you're going to get into the groupies.
So, yeah, I kind of wrote what? Because I guarantee you, out of the whole episode, this is going to be the talking point for tomorrow. People were like, cards?
This is where I was like, Oh, submit.
Yeah. Well,
you're an idiot.
This was the beginning of the pandemic. And I was in China and people really didn't know. I was told by some people, you know, if you're on PrEP, which I am, you know, which basically protects against HIV, they're like, oh, but it's antiviral. So it's like, it's going to be fine. Just keep taking your antivirals. And they still don't know if it's like somewhat effective. But like, I was told that, and I was told that you couldn't get it from touching something, or you could get it from touching something. Now we know a little bit more, but here's the harsh reality, y'all. We don't still know a ton, even though we have a vaccine. Hopefully, it's going to show up soon.
No, we're even talking about, I was reading stuff about, like, even my own doctor, but it literally, like, they're sound maybe same, like, blood types, like I'm O negative, and that O blood types could be a little less or more immune to it than other blood types.
Oh,
who knew?
Because you're common.
But then O negative is actually the most rare. It's O positive. It's the most common.
Oh, that's what I mean. But you're O negative?
I am O negative. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So I can only get.
I mean, I couldn't donate blood to you. Are you the universal receiver?
No, it means I.
That's what they called you in college.
There goes universal receiver.
What's the universal receiver? What's the universal donor? I thought O positive is the universal donor.
We're going to get letters about this. But no, I believe O negative is a universal donor, I think. And I thought
no,
O
I
positive.
Think you're wrong.
I think O positive is the universal receiver.
No, AB negative is the universal receiver.
Yes, it's AB negative. Yes.
AB negative is the most rare, so you're wrong. But that's okay. We can all be wrong.
No, O negative is the universal donor. And I want to say O
AB
positive,
negative.
O positive is the most common because that 40% of Americans have O positive blood.
Yeah. That's why I said you were common.
I'm O negative, not O positive. Jesus.
I just like keep saying you're common.
And you're a whore.
Not a problem.
Not a problem. So AB negative is the most rare blood type, I think. You're
that's
right.
What it is. Yeah. I don't know where I pulled that out.
Oh, man. How, you know, it almost would be worth dying to save your life with my blood. And then
I would never feel clean again.
You could never do anything for me, though. And I would die on the table. And then you would just be penniless and go, I couldn't save him because my blood is shit. He gave to me, but I can't give to him.
Mine is A negative.
That almost would be worth it.
Mine is, we typed it in school. Mine is A negative.
Well, submits is ain't happening. That's what it is, what that is.
Okay, y'all. As soon as
I really do think he's an idiot, though, that he thinks a card could keep away COVID.
Yeah,
that's stupid.
He's quite simple. And Jenny's like, so do you want to declare our intentions? We're going to Delhi. We're going to go to Delhi and declare our intentions.
Saying,
and his face.
Jenny, I don't know.
You knew Submit was over it.
Yeah.
You look at his face. That is the face of a man who's done trying to be convinced into marrying. He's tired. Mm-hmm. And she could say anything. He's like, oh, I'm tired. That's a shitty way to be.
It is. I think he's addicted to drama.
Yeah.
I think the more and more we get to know him.
I don't know anything about that.
I think Submit. I mean, we kind of already figured this. He doesn't want a partner. I think he wants a mother, and he wants somebody to dote on him. And I think he's so self-centered and wants the world to revolve around him.
Loves pissing his parents off.
And that's what I've decided about. He's a spoiled little brat who wants all the attention.
I agree. I agree with you.
And you know what? And I think his brother would agree.
Yeah. So they go to Delhi. They meet with a lawyer. And so they could do a special, I almost called it a special, I think it's like a special needs marriage, but that's not what it is. It's like a special circumstances marriage. But he also says there's like, you can do an Arya Samaj marriage. I think I'm pronouncing that kind of correctly.
Kind of. By the way, is it me or is the attorney really cute?
It's you.
I thought it was hot.
I can't tell with a fucking N95 mask all over his face.
You know, what I imagined was just handsome as well.
So he's not bad, but I wouldn't single him out. And basically, the attorney's like, so yeah, you can get one of this. The parents don't need to like comment or anything. It's like you just show up at the temple and they wave a wand over and you're done. And don't have to convert. You just have to like sit for a multi-level marketing thing for 30 minutes and you're married. That's exactly what happened.
And that's exactly what happened. And this is already after y'all before, you know, Jenny was kind of like, when they went to Delhi, she's like, well, we could just do the ceremony of the ring ceremony there. And that's when Jenny Smith was like, and then he says in the confessional, just so we know going into this, he says, sometimes I feel pressure like I have to marry Jenny. And I'm like,
you do.
Are you fucking kidding me? That's been the whole point of this, you asshat. Like, literally, you've been fighting
her along for like 7 years.
Saying you want to fucking marry her. That's the whole fucking point, you son of a bitch. So now that this attorney has told them that they can just get married, y'all, it's like
Jenny
that,
is so excited.
It's like that first time that I realized I could take a 9-inch dick. It's like, I'm so happy. I'm taking it in the back. And Jenny is thrilled.
What song is that?
I just made up.
Oh, okay.
I thought it was that's a take the dick of my ass song.
She's like,
she becomes that chicken from the Muppets. And then you just see the Mitt just sitting there.
I really should talk to my parents first. And you see Jenny goes, what?
She literally goes, I should talk to my parents. And she goes, oh. She literally makes that noise. And then I swear I heard her. And then she gets mad. And then I didn't think I was going to say it. Jenny is as mad as a wet hen.
She is as mad as a wet hen.
Yes.
Because if you've ever seen a wet hen, they do not like water.
They do not. She's mad. And she's like, because she says, if I would have known, we'd have different choices. And the lawyer says, legally, your parents cannot eject. And no, when he object. Says object, and Jenny's like, let's get married today. And so Samit throws this, like, I need to tell my.
I need to let my parents stop me.
Yeah, and he's like, and he just says, Jenny's like, well, we can get married anytime. And she's like, I just don't understand why he wants to stall the marriage. Honey, we do. Everybody else does.
He's afraid of commitment. And if he marries you, the fairy tale ends. The fairy tale that he is your knight and that he is going to spurn his mother and father and his culture for you. And the fairy tale that you're living in this limbo, that you're living on love, and that's enough. And that's why he doesn't want it. That's why he doesn't want to marry you right away. He doesn't want the fairy tale that he's the hero of his story to end, honey. Bottom line.
There's just something we don't know. Like, is Samit gay? Is he?
I don't think
he is.
I told you why he doesn't want to marry her.
I know, but it seems so insane that someone would go through all this time, all through the heartache, and all this money for not some logical reason. I agree with you.
He's emotionally immature.
No, I think it's beyond that. But yes, I mean, I think it's emotionally immature, and I think he's. But no, I'm just trying to bring up the point that he's so fucking manipulative in all this. The sensible part of me thinks, well, there has to be something. But there's not. There's just not.
I think he actively, whether unconsciously or consciously, sought after someone who his parents would object to. Because there needs to be some type of spurning his parents.
I feel like his brother is the favorite child.
Oh, by far.
And I think that he resents that.
I don't know if it's favoritism. I think Submit is probably older and probably has not been successful in life.
And he feels like a failure.
No. He feels like a failure, and he needs to keep replicating this pattern.
Oh my God.
And he needs to keep replicating it.
I just realized
you can interrupt me. Go ahead. Who?
Oh no, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but the thing stopped. It actually cut out. I thought you were done. So sorry. Submit is Indian Paul.
don't come. That's an insult to Submit. But yeah, even that, I think Submit is probably without some of the mental illness that's there.
But still,
he can't.
I'm
fine. We all have our dads in life to deal with.
Yeah, you know, I found out my dad had hemorrhoids today by wiping his ass. So you can suck up your toe and deal with it.
We all have our, quote, dads.
Yeah. Jesus.
In life.
But think about it. Submit and Paul both can't hold down jobs. Submit and Paul, both their mothers hate them secretly.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
That just reminds me of, I agree with you in a way. I just hate to put him in that camp, but it's like Strangers with Candy from when Jerry Blank has to take care of a baby and the teacher's like, she's like, but I have to study for final. She's like, Jerry, we've all got our babies in life. We've all got our dads.
Oh boy.
I'm a terrible person.
You are.
Y'all,
so
I tell you what, though, I make fun of things and I call attention to things and make fun of things that are inappropriate so we can process them. And it helps me process better. I know you're not offended. I know you're not offended.
Yeah,
I'll just say some things. And I don't ever mind people coming for me. But I will say some things that are super inappropriate. And it is by no means how I think. I'm just trying to fuck with people half
the time. People shouldn't have CPAP machines. People fucking came for you.
I really stepped in it that time, didn't I?
I'll be honest.
I have really thick skin when it comes to people coming for me.
Someone said, I just prefer having an oxygenated brain. And I went, well done.
Here's what happened with the CPAP, y'all. I'll just tell you the story. I was dating this guy. He was fun, and I thought, oh, this is good. This is a fun relationship. He's funny. He was actually on a reality show. I'm not gonna say which one. About people who make things. He was a crafter. He was really, really crafty.
I think there was only one reality show about crafters.
Well, you can maybe look and see who it was.
Hosted by Amy, what's her name?
No, there was another one. I think there was another one. Maybe. I don't know. You can tell how important he was to me in retrospect. But we saw each other for about 2 months off and on. And the first night I spent the night at his place with the CPAP machine, I didn't get a wink of sleep. And this has been like almost 3 years ago. It was so loud. And granted, it was quiet in there. So all I heard was click, click, click. And I would wait for the next one. And I just wait for the next inhale.
You know what is interesting? And this isn't making fun of you. I think it describes, and for people that are listening that are HSPs, like you are, like you've got to get diagnosed. Like I think I would be interested to see where
it's
you are
on
the scale of that.
It's not an actual diagnosis. It's not a medical diagnosis.
There's people doing more and more research about it.
It's a psychological diagnosis. It's not a psychiatric diagnosis.
But like I've heard it. My mom has one. My father's supposed to have one. But anyway, it doesn't bother me at all. But knowing how you are, That makes me laugh, but it also makes me go, oh God. Like literally that is like a dog barking during our podcast. You can't focus. Like you could not. You were just, bless your heart. That was so loud to you.
I think I was also referring to the fact that I was dating this guy who was probably 41, 42, a gay man, and having a game and having a CPAP machine as a gay man and trying to hook up with guys and saying, yep, got to put on my CPAP,
you know,
would render you a little bit like, oh,
I'm kind of like the confidence in that kind of turns me on.
But you're the opposite. Think about it. Think about what you know about the gay community.
I'm a lot less shallow than you. Yeah. I mean, gay men. That's what I meant to say.
I'm saying I had to fight for my sensitivity and the fact that I liked this guy dealing with the CPAP. And the good thing was, it wasn't even that wasn't what broke us up.
What was?
It was I told him that
oh no.
I told him that I never wanted to get married because it was kind of a test.
Do you want to get, but you do, you would get married.
You need to be with someone who'll never marry you. Because let me clarify.
Wow.
Because if you said, if someone's deal breaker is they'll never get married, you need, let them go.
Oh, this is going to be more letters than the CPAP machine ever brought.
No, I'm saying, because it wasn't necessarily that, but he's like, well, you said that. And, he already had all his life planned out, and I'm willing to work with someone where we plan a life together. And so it wasn't just the married thing. He already had the wedding planned out.
Was this before or after the coma?
After.
I bet you a CPAP machine triggers PTSD for you.
Maybe. You know what? That's not a bad idea.
I bet you, because it's the same type of sound. Because I remember.
I was on a ventilator for almost.
I remember
almost
when I was feeding and bathing you and taking care of you. And I remember that noise.
I like it how you shame me for not thanking you for feeding me. You never bathed me, you disgusting thing.
I didn't.
You know what? I'm going to take that and say that that did happen. It does. It did give me a little bit. It rushed back into me. But my thing was, he was so set in his life. The CPAP was a symbol.
She can't be tamed.
Like Miley Cyrus, I cannot be tamed. We have to work together to build a life. And it's going to be something that I'm not necessarily willing to do. And it's going to be something that you're not necessarily willing to do. And we have to come together to build some kind of hybrid. That's the way I feel about relationships. I know that's asking a lot.
Well...
And you know what? His dick wasn't even that big. So,
and there we are. Let's finish this. Okay. So, so Jenny calls Christina.
Where are we? Oh,
she talks to Christina and she's telling her, she was like, she's like, you know, she says like, we can get married now, but now we talk to his parents. And Christina's like, why? Why is it be doing this? And then I want to say, and Jen is like that. Oh shit. Can I just say, Jen is like, I'm attracted to Jen. Jen is like boy band hot.
Oh, I totally agree. Whether you're gay, straight, bi, or everything in between, you want to bang Jen.
Jen is hot.
I agree.
Yeah, I just want to say
There's something about her. It's like, you just want to stare into her eyes and have you like finger bang her.
Ladies, fellas, people, come at us. Let us know. Now,
I do want to point out that Jenny is wearing a shirt that says, leave a little sparkle wherever you go.
Oh, Jenny.
Which sounds like a piece of word art. Poodle Home Collection, coming soon. The slogan is, word art that comes for you.
Coming Black Friday. from putting in the deadline on black.
It's going to be
Friday.
Pillows. It's going to be t-shirts. It's going to be wall hangings.
And part of the Poodle Home collection we will have a shirt that says live, laugh,
lube.
It will be coming. You asked for it. And you know what? We'll even let you put it on a baby onesie. We don't care.
You can put it on your cat like Sabrina did.
Whatever you want to do.
A dick pig onesie that she put her cat in. And I find it completely hysterical and wrong. But she does say my cat is a dick pig. So who am I? Who am I to judge the sex positivity of your cat?
Oh, God. Okay. So anyway, nothing really comes out of this. So again, so Jenny's thinking, okay, we got to talk to his parents. And then Submit comes up again and says, hey, I think we should also talk to my brother and his wife.
He's coming over now.
And she's like, what? And she just, and this is where it does break my heart, because Jenny's like, this just doesn't make sense to me. I don't want to deal with all of this. Why is this happening? And this is kind of what I think why I'm over it is this is like the fifth time we've seen this pattern where Submit throws something on her. Rational Jenny goes, this doesn't make sense. This is not what normal people do. And then she talks herself into it and then defends Submit.
I think I saw this as a different kind of incident, because what basically happened is the brother and the wife come over, the new wife, she's very recent. She's just out of the store. And they're talking about they got married during COVID, and Jenny's like, were you scared getting married in COVID? And they're like, well, anyway, so they and Jenny says, we're planning to get married. And their eyes go,
no. So that's when I put in my notes, like, is his family just like, or is this an Indian culture? Indian sissies come at us. Is Indian culture like, I can't think of the right words, and I know you will. So almost like a slow to process.
Mean no goodness words.
Mean no good words. Are they slow to process or slow? Because look, this is not new information. Not even to Submit's brother. His brother knows Submit is quote unquote serious about Jenny, that he wants to marry Jenny. He's told his brother all of this.
They're getting married tomorrow. That's why.
But still, the reaction is just kind of like, I can't believe it. And I'm like, you guys.
Because they never thought they would.
It's been 2 years. Like,
because here's the thing.
You don't
do it without your parents saying yes. It's just unheard of. Or you never talk to your parents again, like his brother says. He's like, brother, you will never have a connection. If you marry her, you will never have a connection to our parents again. I will support you in this. I approve. They will never, never approve this. It doesn't matter. That's when Jenny gets – but he also says, be prepared for the consequences if you do this. And Jenny gets really upset, and this is what loses me. It's not Submit at all. It's Jenny. And Jenny says, I'm sorry I'm this age. I'm sorry I'm this. We are each other's favorite person. This is a fact. God damn it. I love him. He is my life, and I choose you. And I rarely see that kind of outpouring from anybody. That's why it hooked me. And it was Jenny standing up for Submit in a different way than I'd seen before. And I did get teary, I will be honest. But to see someone feel this much.
This was like Emily's monologue in Our Town. It was like the fucking moment of the show where everybody just goes,
not as well written. But yes, I agree with you. And definitely not as well acted as it could have been.
It was though.
And it was delivered by a chicken. That is one thing that is different.
But the desperation in this.
And she finally kind of said,
she's like, she was just crying and saying, I'm sorry I'm this age. I'm sorry, but this is my life. I gave up so much. And I thought It's ironic because she says this next week. She says, I can't do this to this family. I actually thought, I hate Submit for making her suffer. And if Submit truly loved her and put Jenny before himself, he would have left India 2 years ago to be with fucking Jenny. And
I
the
agree.
Fact that he put her through all of this makes him a sorry, selfish, son of a bitch. Jenny, you don't listen to our show by now because we've called you a chicken. But Christina, if you and Jen do, first of all, if you want Jen to have a threesome with us, maybe. And secondly, tell
not with you though. I would have a threesome with her and another guy, not you though.
Oh yeah, that was assumed. Like just some guy in Palm Springs. Like just throw a dime and you'll see some guy.
Yeah, some gay guy.
Some guy who's like yeah, on something.
So it's basically like.
Mama, look at me. Look at me, Mama. It's Emily. It's Emily.
It's her own Emily's monologue.
It's like when she sings Send in the Clowns. You're just like,
yeah.
That's what it was like watching it. Anyway, y'all.
I will say this moved her last thing moved me in a way because Jenny's not had a lot her whole life, y'all.
No.
She's just not. And she's never really she's wanted something. She's wanted true love, but she's never wanted it.
She's a simple person, though. She's a simple person. She is what we look at her as like beautiful. I mean, in the play, but she is Audrey in Little Shop when Audrey is 60 years old.
That is a really generous description of Jenny, but I understand what you're saying.
But Audrey, you didn't, but you know, because you're like, you know, we know that like Jenny was like, she was working in Palm Springs. She was like cleaning houses for, I think she's just had kind of this, a hard life.
Yeah, she's wandered. She has had a hard life. I agree with you.
A lot of people that are fucked her over. Yes.
And she's still getting put through the mill by Submit.
She needs to go back to Palm Springs and she needs a gay couple, a good gay couple, because she won't listen to her daughter. So maybe she'll listen to gay men to just take care of her. Tell her what to do and she'll do it.
She needs kind of like this sounds even worse, but she needs like a 70-year-old man.
She can't do that. No way. She's too mothering. Jenny needs someone who she feels like needs her. And Submit is like.
That's what I'm saying. He's not in like good health.
Oh, good health. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
But still
Christina
has money.
Work on that. Yes.
Yeah.
We should probably take a commercial now, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. That's it for chicken. We've run out of chickens.
All right. See you on the other side.
See you when we come back.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline.
Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC.
For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com.
That's Juvederm.com.
Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching.
There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring.
Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com.
That's Juvederm.com.
The minute you walked in the joint, I could see you were a man of distinction, a real big spender.
Uh-oh, y'all. Poodle is singing seductive songs. That must mean we're about to go out on tour again. Ugh, sissy husbands, beware.
Whatever Poodle wants, Poodle gets. Well, you're right about one thing, Maddie. We are going out on tour, but that's not the only reason I'm positively randy. I have spring fever.
Is that something that a trip to the clinic or an antibiotic can fix?
Afraid not. When Piano Cat senses the weather getting warmer, she knows it's time to jettison those jackets and sweaters for items that show a little more skin.
Well, I hate to tell you, Poods, but you still have to cover up a little with those tour costumes. In Chicago, you were actually cited for obscenity.
Fascists! I will wear what I want and no one can stop Poodle Boudreaux!
They said next time it would be $1,000 fine.
Maybe I could cover up a little bit. Leave something to the men's imaginations, but I don't want to wear too much. You know how I get hot.
Well, Piano Cat, I think it's your lucky day. Have you seen the new spring stuff at Quince? They have all the seasonal must-haves, like 100% European linen shirts from $30, performance polos, and versatile flow knit activewear.
Ooh, I love those Quince performance polos. They're so soft and sumptuous, and they cup my body in all the right places. They're also great for when my daddy and I do country club tennis role play. Mixed doubles indeed.
Wow. As I was saying, with Quince, you can say goodbye to wasting money on clothes that it would only last one season. They've got high-quality pieces that never go out of style that you'll be wearing year after year. I love my blue cashmere hoodie. It's perfect for warm spring days and cool spring nights.
And people can't stop complimenting me on my leather cafe racer jacket that I've been wearing on our live shows. It's super chic and fitted and perfect for keeping me warm in those drafty northeastern backstage areas.
And the best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes.
I love that. But Maddie, I don't think that Quince has cured my spring fever. It's only made it worse. Bring on the men!
Yike. Sissies, upgrade your wardrobe. Go to quince.com/realitygaze for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/realitygaze to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/realitygaze. Poodle, you know when you're listening to a song on the radio and you get the profound feeling that the song playing was written about you?
Oh, it's not a feeling. I know a lot of songs are written about me.
What?
Yeah, when they get a little bite of Poodle, it's hard to let go. There are too many songs to even elaborate on.
That's fine. You don't have to tell us about them.
You know, the song The Scientist about me?
You slept with Chris Martin?
Coldplay.
I know he's from Coldplay.
No, I slept with Coldplay. All of them. Keep up. Lionel Richie, he was stuck on me from the very beginning. Who do you think suggested Nicole should go to boarding school?
Okay, we get it. No, Poodle, I bring this up because apparently you know what it's like to have a song written just for you, but for the rest of us mere mortals.
Your words.
Imagine having the power to gift that same incredible feeling to someone you love with an original song from Songfinch that actually is written just for them. Sissies, Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and it lasts forever.
Oh, I love this idea. Flowers die, chocolates melt, but a song is eternal. Unless it's a poorly written song, then bury that thing forever.
Agreed. But I have to say, the songs from Songfinch are really fantastic. They're thoughtful, and they sound like something you would hear on the radio.
Okay, but is it hard to set up? Probably takes a lot of work, right?
Not at all. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
Well, that sounds easy enough.
I know. I just submitted a song request for something I want to use on our tour, and I cannot wait to get it back. And based on the sample recordings I heard when I was choosing the singer, it's going to be so good. I also love that they had unique add-ons that make the gift even more special, like a vinyl record of your song or a one-of-a-kind art piece made from your lyrics. Or you could even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Well, Maddie, I want to have a song written about me.
But Poodle, you just said you had.
I want more.
Hush. Sissies, whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, or an upcoming graduation or wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their songs to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anywhere, anytime.
Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us too. songfinch.com/realitygaze.
You know, Maddie, this reminds me, you know that song from the Four Tops, Can't Help Myself?
Oh, I love that song. Sugar Pie Honey Bunch.
Yep, about me. And the funny thing is, they really are Four Tops.
Dear mother and father, I am so glad to have you here with me in Ethiopia. It has been quite taxing this time without you here for me. I am so glad I have someone to help me change my baby's nappy. Also, I would prefer, hopefully, no animals get slaughtered the next time on my doorstep. I know I am writing this to you as you are still in the country, but I thought I would write it to you and give it to you as a present when we are over. In closing, I will say that I have appreciated everything you have done for me and given me more than I ever would have imagined, so I cannot be happy in this strange foreign country, and I will always long for the sanctity of New Jersey. Yours truly, Ariel.
That was the letter from the war from Ariel.
Y'all.
Very good.
That was, I have to say that was L. Is it Ellie or L? It's L, right?
I believe it's Ellie. I've called her Ellie.
Ellie Mindoro. That is one of our sissies.
She played it so well.
Playing the
Ashoken Farewell.
Ashoken Farewell. And that is just a little, we did a 90 day the other way version, but if you're not listening to Sweet Tea, Poodle Boudreaux Remington, aka we have found
my great grandmother.
We have found a
tree of all her Civil War.
We have found all of her Civil War letters. And y'all, Poodle and Boudreaux Remington made Jake look like a pious.
She was quite a slut.
She was quite, y'all, people got DP'd in the Civil War and we just never knew about it.
Now someone wrote a review and they told them they couldn't write the review that long. So she put it on the Sissy Squad. It was really impressive.
Truly.
Because I basically said there was nothing more compelling to me than letters from wars. I don't know why, but no. I have books of them. I will watch any television series about where they read letters from wars. I'm obsessed with them. And it's kind of what you feel like there. And for some reason, Civil War letters resonate with me because of where I'm from. Anyway, Ari is loving having her parents there. And I will say one.
Happy.
So her mother and father showed up, but there was another person who showed up. I don't know if you about this. Not really a person, more of a concept. And that was reality. And y'all. We all know reality's a bitch. When it comes in, it's like, oh, but this is not a fairy tale we're living anymore.
But in the same way, too, you know what also showed up was calmness. Ari does not do well when she is away from her parents.
Yeah, they're emotional support parents, like your animals.
They're her safety blankets, like Schroeder. And so they...
Especially your mom.
Yeah,
because she speaks Ari.
Exactly. So Ari she's just a much calmer person. And her parents came the day before. And so Ari wants to have a good day. They're spending the day with Ari and Binium. And Ari says, you know, I want my parents to see that we're a good match. And I want them to be happy that, and Binium too is like, I want them to be happy that Ari lives here with me.
I want to pause there because that ended her confessional. Everything that ends her confessionals are about showing her parents that they're a good match, that they have a strong relationship, and they love each other.
everything is about proving to her parents over past inconsistencies with relationships, proving that she's an adult. Everything is about proving that I can succeed, mom and dad, without you. It's this continuous cycle.
Yeah.
And so she has to prove they're a good match. And
not that there's wrong with anything with wanting to make your parents proud.
No. But it's her intention to do it is so strong, it supersedes anything else.
And it's in an unhealthy way. Like, I'll be honest, I was talking about this with my one therapist, I have five of them, with my therapist.
My Monday therapist.
You're not supposed to have more than one therapist. But something from, so I want to encourage people, like having things attached, like one thing that's kind of helped me through all of this stuff with my dad is kind of an emotional goal for like, because I've been talking to my dad about like, oh, next year you'll see your grandson play football. But my therapist said to me, and this is for anybody who's a caretaker, we're so obsessed with the other person. And so Ari's obsessed with her parents so much and their ideas.
And their beliefs.
So for Ari, I would want to say kind of what my therapist said to me. He was like, but what's your goal? What is your goal in this caretaking process and helping that would involve your dad, a goal for you and your dad? And I said, I really want my father to see one of our live shows because I think he'll be so incredibly amazed about what we've accomplished. And he'll feel like, wow, all this, because he doesn't get it. I was like, your parent gets it. Okay.
My parents don't get it either.
But I know if my father saw that.
Yeah,
it would be like when I had my birthday party, he talked about it all year. And I know that that would be like, wow, Matt has really done something successful. And so it's really helped me in just like to get through this and to like realize there's a light at the end of the tunnel and something I want. And Ari doesn't have that. You're so right. It's all about her self-worth is completely tied to your parents. And y'all, you can't be
100%
cannot be an adult and live your life that way.
It doesn't, at the end of the day, yes, you'd hope that your parents have a good opinion of you, but it can't frame who you are.
I mean, imagine if you were still waiting for Mother Poodle to give you a sense of approval.
I'd be sitting there with a long white beard, just waiting.
Mama, is it today? Mama, is it today?
I will say this. It's so interesting because my mother, well, she won't volunteer it. She was like, I'm just so proud of you. She'll say things like that, but it'll never be for something. My father, on the other hand, came to like saw me sing somewhere and he's like, oh, my God, I had no idea. You have such a gift. I just had no idea. I'd never seen you perform in public like that. That's amazing. And I had tears in my eyes. Aww. And my father will say things like that, but my mother will be just kind of like, she'll kind of speak in generalities. When it comes from my dad, it's really special. Because he never really told me anything when I was growing up. So there you go. And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man. And when you're coming home, Dad, I don't know when we'll get together then. Dad, I don't have a good time there. Anyway, to kind of piggyback on this, they're riding all over Addis Ababa and they're showing Dad. And he's like, oh, these are people's houses. It's quite... Everything looks very beaten up. I'm not sure I want my. And these are people who live in, they're well-to-do in New Jersey, you guys. This is a doctor. And so these are people of means. These are people of privilege. And Dad, when he looks at Dad's face, when he looks at the chicken coop, the open chicken coop, and I will say, read the room here, maybe not have any more animals slaughtered on camera. an idea, even though it is cultural,
but
read the room.
Also too, and sissies might come for me. So this is, I'm just going to,
you know what? Join the club.
I'm just going to say this is dumb. This is dumb American speaking that doesn't know a lot about Ethiopian culture, but I'm going to say in the United States, especially for someone's a Fred's age, because that was even more, I grew up hearing because you would see the videos of Sally Struthers and things like that. I grew up in my childhood thinking, if as a 10-year-old kid and you asked me what was the poorest place in the world, I would say Ethiopia. And so, and I'm not saying
famine there,
but I'm saying I was a little bit like Fred, read the room, like, you know, you're not going to like Dubai. You know, you know that you're going to a because it is a third world country, correct?
I don't know.
I don't mean that to be offensive for Ethiopians. I'm saying that I could be totally wrong.
I am wrong.
But I'm just saying that was surprising to me that he was so shocked.
I will say part of the allure of The Other Way and 90 Day Fiancé in general of when they go to other places is to talk about how different it is from America and how strange we feel as Americans in this place. So that's the ethos of the show. And so I wasn't really surprised. Yes, that's the ethos of the show. Because that's how the show, because the viewer puts themselves in his place and goes, yeah, that's weird. And that's one of the fascinations of 90 Day Fiancé, especially one of the fascinations of The Other Way, is the viewer kind of putting themselves, yeah, I'd have a problem with that too. But the great thing about this whole universe, you guys, the 90 Day multiverse, as we call it, is yes, TLC is not always about learning, as we know from The Little Couple and other shows.
Oh my God. I just forgot that this used to be called the Learning Channel. Yes.
But I'm saying the documentary style work on this teaches us a lot about other places. So it's not just like mind-numbing mouth breather television where we just stare at it like American Ninja Warrior. No dissing American Ninja Warrior. I watched it last night with my dad.
We watched the finale. It was good.
Not a lot can be learned.
Not a lot can be learned, but God, a lot can be put in a spank bank. Whoa.
You know what? I shouldn't say that. Maybe like the Real Housewives of Potomac. Not a lot of learning going on there. So there's the chicken fiasco, and then there, and he's like, and she's screaming at him, Binyam, don't wring his neck or don't kill the chicken right there in front of my mother because mom didn't want to see it. And it was this weird kind of culture clash. And he's like, no, I'll just kill it later. And she's like, no, don't kill it at all.
Well, there is a little bit like, I will say, I know they're in Ethiopia and I get that, but I will say for a little bit, it is like Binyam. And again, I can't believe I'm defending Ari. Because, you know, no, I know that we don't like either of them, y'all. So I think people think that we hate Ari and love Binyam. No, I think Binyam is like...
I don't think people think that. Yeah. And, we don't love him.
We don't love him. But I will say it's apparent in seeing how he behaves with her. There's a difference of showing somebody your culture. And it kind of hit me, though, this episode of like, oh... Ari said to him, she's like, you need to acknowledge that I am an American, though, coming from an American perspective. And he really doesn't. He kind of is kind of like, well, you moved here and you have to accept everything here. But can't he accept that she, yes, she moved there, but she is an American living in Ethiopia. It's a difference than...
He basically says, he's talking about things that are in my culture. And she's like, I just want him to respect my culture, that I'm not used to this. All kinds of stuff. And she's like, it's just not what we do. And I'm American and I don't want to do that. And I feel like if Ari was male and if Ari was cheese stick and said things like, I'm American and I don't want to do that, we would call him a fucking troglodyte.
But also, if he was male and said he didn't want to do that, would Binyam listen to her and not do it?
No, I agree. Binyam, maybe it's cultural. Maybe it's just he doesn't listen. And we heard a little bit from the sisters. Let's move into...
Well, because I just want to say, I get it that slaughtering, like open slaughter, is a part of the culture. So,
yeah.
But for him to be... That is a pretty... Look, I don't care what culture you're from. Like, you're still killing a living creature. And to not even have a thing in your brain that says, hey... This is fine for me. This might be a lot for them. Okay. And the Keith's kind of just like, I'm going to do it anyway. It was just...
Well, I honestly don't think he has a second thought to it.
Oh, that's
because
true,
it's just that's how it's done.
Yeah, it is not a second thought. There was just kind of, I don't know.
I grew up where I saw my great grandfather wring a chicken's neck in front of everybody. It wasn't a big deal. That was what you eat. This chicken's getting old. Here we go. Now, I can understand, because I have a little perspective, that it might not be the best to have everyone see that.
The thing that Janice is really great at, though, that Ari is not, is that they're kind of like, no. She's like, no, and Ari's starting to get riled. And y'all, you see what Janice has done all of Ari's life of just misdirect. Because she just jumped in and said, let's
queen of misdirection.
Let's try something different.
I love that. That's what I need a Janice for my life.
We all kind of need a Janice for our life. Janice,
she's the best mom.
Janice
y'all.
Can make Angela and Michael get along. I
agree.
I believe it.
So we move in. They are the next day. They show up at their apartment, and Ari is freaked out. She's like, I know my parents aren't gonna really like my apartment. Mm-hmm. And they've got a toilet seat ready for the parents. They've got everything, and basically, mom is like, yeah, all these gifts we have for you, they're not even going to fit in here.
Yeah, you know, the way they shot the
privilege.
It is. The way they shot the apartment, it did look bigger than it is. Like, we did not realize that the only refrigerator they have is like a little
college mini fridge.
Which, you know, when you're living at home with a baby, if you're trying to store like breast milk, and I know that's a privilege. I know that's a privilege that you can even do all that and have a breast pump.
Yeah.
But from a New Jersey
privilege perspective,
that is the culture. Like, to me, that if I had a kid, that's not an option for me not to have a freezer to do whatever. So Janice did a really good job. She even said, I'm not trying to be too insulting, but I think it's time
you
move on to a better place.
You need a bigger place. Just point blank. And I'm sure that Ari, and this is the thing. Ari did this when Janice came the first time. Ari lets her mom do all the heavy artillery. She lets her mom and her dad do all of that.
She really,
and it makes me want to scream.
It's a way in that, like, Ari was less upsetting this episode because she wasn't talking as much.
She never spoke.
But it is this way that she just gives up and lets her parents, not even gives up, she lets her parents parent her, which has been,
it's the height of privilege.
It really is the height of privilege. And again, I just think that, yes, Ari has been going through a lot, and she could be dealing with pimples, but she could be all of this kind of
stuff. She is, yeah.
But I will say, she was sure felt a lot better when her parents were back in town. A lot better.
She was pretty sure of herself. You could tell.
Suddenly,
she's
much sure of herself.
Cracking one-liners.
Felt much better because, basically, her mom was here to take care of everything for her.
Yeah, people were on her side, as she said.
Yeah, and now you do feel for her that with her mom being there, I did really kind of have this realization of, oh man, fuck, Ari really has had nobody to talk to about any of this. Like, she's had, but none of Biniam's friends or family have really been on her side or even really care about her side. They all kind of just tell her, She's wrong for feeling that way. So
yeah, they want her to be an Ethiopian woman.
Yeah,
and
that's what I'm saying. I don't think empathetic to the fact that she's an American woman trying to live in Ethiopia. They're just saying be Ethiopian.
I totally agree, and I just feel that there's no compromise in between these two.
Mm-hmm.
There's no compromise
exactly
in between cultural idioms and it's like when they said. They told Biniam, you know, Ari says that you're just going out all the time saying, I gotta leave, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, and she's like, you have to tell me everything.
And that's where, so it's not as if she's trying to be reasonable and saying,
no,
I just need to know. She's like, I need to know everything at all times. And Biniam's like, well, that's not how we are here.
And if I was Ari, first of all, I'd do my eyebrows better. But true. If I was Ari, I would say, let's start out with baby steps. Let's start out with me saying, I'm going to be okay with you not texting me back when I text you at 11:30 when you're playing ass drums at work. And you tell me where you're going. And you tell me 2 days in advance. It's a baby steps kind of thing. But, it's not an all or nothing thing.
Again, they're both kids. They're both fucking like 14-year-old kids. Because even when Janice is asking Benny, she's like, so how do you make money? How often do you get paid? And I'm like,
I've had that discussion with people.
But here's the deal.
A gig worker like me, you guys.
Here's the deal. Ari hasn't. Because Ari tells her mother everything. And so if her mother doesn't know this, it means Ari has not had this conversation. So Ari doesn't know anything about, and I bet you, we haven't heard her say this, but I bet you when they talk about money, Ari ends the conversation and says, I don't like to talk about money. She probably doesn't even want to deal with it.
He makes plenty of money.
She's got her head in the sand of it. So Janice is trying to figure this out. And so they're talking about, he's not really sure. It's not a continuous amount of money. And the mom, even Janice even says, we can help you if we kind of know what's going on.
We know what the money situation is. However, this is the problem. This is a slippery slope. And Ari knows it. If they find out what they're actually making, then they will have leverage.
Oh, yes.
So,
and that's why she doesn't want to tell him. And Ari's like, he's an artist. I want to support him. That's great.
The most BS statement in the whole show tonight was...
Go ahead.
Benny is an artist, and I 100% support him, but artists don't make money.
They don't. I think the most... It was very well said, but the most... Look... I think Fred could be a politician because when he said, you know, it's a little scary in terms of finances. Benny, he has a lot of talent and hopefully he will be very successful. But right now we need to make money to think about necessities. And I thought my parents would never say that. Yeah. Chelsea Marr, he'd walk in and he would say, Matt, are you fucking kidding me? And I think, well, Dad, well, he's like, get your goddamn clothes and get my goddamn grandson. And we're, I don't care if I'm putting it on the fucking stork. We're taking this kid back to the goddamn United States where he can go to Sonic.
And this is why I talked about, this is why reality sets in. This is when reality said, hey, girls, you miss me? And the mom and dad brought it.
But they can't do that with Ari, though. They can't say, like, you have to come because you're making me.
But mom did say, yeah, Beanie, I think you need a full-time job. I think you need a full-time job. And Ari's like, but it's hard because, like, I need him here with me. And I agree. Someone needs to help her with the baby. If he has to make all the money for the family, though, it's not going to be possible. So maybe one of his sisters or someone in his family, which I'm sure there is always Ari's backup.
That would be good. I bet they'll shame her too about her breastfeeding and the way
they
she
would
mothers.
Probably. And I'm telling you, would. It's awful. And I will say, this is an unwinnable situation, you guys.
Yes,
this is completely unwinnable. No one's going to win. Beanie's not going to win. Ari's not going to win. Even Ari's parents aren't going to win. Someone's going to be sad.
Yes.
And probably, sadly, poor Avi's going to get the short end of the stick.
But they get better when they talk about their faith and religion.
So anyway, we're meeting the sisters. Wish, and what's the other sister name?
I forgot her name.
Yeah. Anyway.
Sassy. I want to call her Sassy because she's a sassy one. Can we call her Sassy?
We can call her Sassy. Okay. And mom, always the slight instigator, even though she's trying to mean well.
No, but she's instigating to show Ari
that
she can't live there. That's why.
I know Janice's plan. And Janice is playing a long game, y'all.
Oh, she knew from the day, not even before she got in Ethiopia. She knew when Ari said, I am moving, when and Ari was in that fucking yoga class in Connecticut or wherever, it said, I'm moving. Janet told Fred, she's like, Fred, be sure to pull some money out of the 401k. We're going to need to go get our daughter in about 8 months.
We're going to need to go get our daughter. And trust me, I've got it handled in the nicest way possible. It's interesting. Janice is quite divisive as well. I'm a Janice fan.
I love Janice. I love but, her. I actually think she's a very sensible, kind person.
Yeah. And so anyway, they're meeting the sisters, and Janice is like, so talking to the sisters, how are they doing? In other words, can you please evaluate this relationship?
Yeah.
And the sisters
how
are
they like,
how do
with the baby?
They're trying.
Oh.
How are they doing with their communicating? She gets mad fast. You know what? Y'all don't ask either of these sisters unless you want to hear the reality, the truth.
That's
because
true.
Because they're going to give it to you straight up. Now tell me, is it going to be you and me forever?
No. And so then that's where Ari says, yeah, but I'm stuck at home and wondering what he's doing all day and I'm not happy about it. And then Wish says, It's weird in our culture to yell at the man. And then Biniam says, well, she acts bossy.
She acts bossy in the street, which is the worst thing.
And then Janice goes, wow, Fred, this doesn't sound good.
She does say that. What, Fred, this isn't good.
This isn't good. But she says it, and this is where Janice is right. Janice says, yeah, there's two sides. Ari does fly off the handle, but Ari does have a reason. It's like you said, she has a reason why she's upset, but instead of like looking at the reality of why she's upset, she takes mm-hmm. that and runs with it and creates a
makes
problem
it
even bigger. Yep. But Janice says, that's when we first hear y'all, the beginning, this isn't the type of culture that Ari
exactly.
will thrive in.
I wrote that down too. Y'all, she's been laying the groundwork for all of this to take back. It's totally Sally Field not without my daughter.
She is. And the sisters are like, you have to calm down. And then they start talking about the baptism. And that's really when
Ari gets said, I was quite shocked.
Yeah. And that's like when the sisters are like, well, the baby has to get baptized because they can't
go
to hell.
To hell.
And that's when Ari's like, don't fucking bring up this hell shit. I told you, if you bring up the hell shit, I'm leaving.
And I will say there was one thing that I was, and it just shows how clueless she is about all of this. She's like, you know, it's fine. I told them they could like baptize the baby. It's like fun. It's like water. It doesn't mean anything. And so maybe don't say that a very important rite to the people right across from you doesn't mean anything.
Because that was because I'll be honest,
it's not just water. Like to them, it means it's everything to them.
And I even grew up Catholic, so I feel like I could say this. For me now, it is that for me. It's just, it's not a ceremonial thing to me. But I would never say that to be A, insensitive and insulting to someone. But also, I would never say that because if I said that, that's not the way you play this game.
No, and I would call you, if you don't believe in that, I would call you a lapsed Catholic. Totally.
Yeah,
because
I'm totally.
If you don't believe in the rites, if you don't believe in the Christian rites.
No, that, I'm not Christian or Catholic at all anymore.
But I'm just saying, like, you can't just say, yeah, I'm Catholic, and it don't matter if your baby's baptized or shit.
No, you're not. You're not. Yes.
The rites are so important. They're sacred.
Exactly. And I not only just respect, I love that people, I love that that means something to people. And I think that's really beautiful and important. So I wouldn't want to shit on that. So,
I will say someone did call me a religious zealot in a review once. And the fact that someone would call me that, I defend religion. I defend people's ability to have faith in religion. I do.
But I will say, but also from a strategic, from her strategery standpoint, that was really dumb for Ari to say that.
I agree.
Because she just, that is just going to light that fire and just basically,
yeah.
And you she, basically like, just undermine their religion.
And they're like to Ari, you sound just like his ex right now.
Because
and
here's
that's
the deal.
Just what they wanted to hear.
I would let them, sure. If it's so much to you, baptize the baby. You think this baby is going to grow up being your religion? Guess what? I'm his mother, and the baby's going to grow up and be whatever I want my baby to be. And that's what
yeah,
I would say in my
much.
Head.
You're gonna want to do what you want to do.
I would.
I agree. There's just a little bit left where Ari says to Binyam, you're going to let your sister talk to me like that?
Yeah.
In that definitely. Last final kind of like hope of chivalry.
And then that's where, and Ari said, okay, we have to prove them wrong. And Janice
oh,
says,
oh, I hated well, that.
Let's hope.
When she's like, all right, Benny, we have to prove them wrong. Because that's my whole goal in life, to prove my parents wrong.
You guys, when you have a baby, it's not about proving your parents wrong. It's about raising your kid the best way you possibly can within the best means that you know how to do.
I agree.
Yeah.
I think we should call it there because we've gone on forever. Yeah, it's like an hour and 20 minutes.
Really? Oh, so much. Okay, well, we're going to have a packed show because we've still got to talk about Kenny and Armando and Hannah, who is now the official hero of the 90 Day Universe.
Oh.
We've got Brittany and
Yazan. This was a long show because we had to talk about so much. But
as
yeah.
our sissy Alyssa said, who also brought me wonderful Indian food yesterday, Alyssa Albertson said, I don't know. She said, I don't know whose eyebrows are more tweezed and defined, Brittany's or Yazan's.
Her eyebrows looked like magnadoodle eyebrows.
But so did his.
Week.
So did his.
And his are natural. His true. Are like, but no, hers are so
no,
drawn
he,
on.
He does his eyebrows too, though. Oh, come on.
Oh, no, he does. But I'm saying hers are drawn on.
Yes, yes. And y'all, and then we have Tim and Melissa
in
Colombia. Who
see
knew?
A therapist, y'all.
Yeah. Who knew Tim's mom is a pretty crier? Not me, but she
oh,
is.
Oh, and Dowd is
she's,
a beautiful crier.
She's a beautiful crier.
Yeah.
And lastly, we have Devin and Jihoo.
Not a lot, but we do have the resurgence of Alicia and a Dracula moment of Zen when she hugs her grandfather and she's very happy to be there.
That's true. So all of that will be coming to you in our part two episode. They're just y'all, we just can't. It's like a long fucking. We just have to split this up so that way we keep our energy up for it. Otherwise, we're just going to be worn out by.
We did a lot of talking about Jenny, and we knew we would have to talk a lot about Ari. We knew did. That.
So y'all, be sure to jump in to the next episode. We're gonna have our cameos again. If you want a Civil War leather from Poodle Boudreaux Remington, you can book one on Cameo, and she'll have the music and everything.
I'm gonna do whatever you. You can tell me what to do. I may do it. I may not.
And you know what?
I move when the spirit moves me.
Some people have come for me and said they would like to request. Cameos after I've drank Kate Hudson vodka. Sure, just
oh,
request
no.
that. I'm sure
no,
I'm fine with that.
No, I can't deal with it because he gets drunk. I can't deal with him.
Y'all, that Kate Hudson vodka called King Street is good. Someone, if you know Kate Hudson, tell her to sponsor us.
I'm a lot more balanced than you on vodka.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. So y'all come to some Cameo, all the show links here. Go to 90daygays.com for now. For now,
until
you come name us and help us name our show. Anything else, Poodle? I think that's it, right?
I think that's it.
Merch. Get your merch at nattydaygays.com.
And keep your head up for the Poodle Home Collection coming Black Friday.
It's true. You guys, we call these people lonely hearts. Because, Poodle, aren't we all just lonely, lonely hearts looking for love?
Yes. And if you've decided there's nothing more in your life you'd rather see than someone to wring a chicken's neck.
But don't wring my neck. I was triggered by that moment. I was triggered. Smack, don't let him.
And also, if you keep your jewelry on a clothes hanger,
oh,
come at us.
Call us.
Call us.
We are not changing the end of our show. Call us.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.